with Christ, with each other, with the world, and with the Holy Spirit. And it's quite a passage, and it's a passage that bears every Christian's continual consideration. In John chapter 14, verse 27, he says, "Peace I leave with you, my peace I give unto you. Not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid." Let's pray. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for its truth. And thank you, Lord, for the peace that the Father holds it all, the peace that comes through the blood of Jesus Christ, and the peace of the Holy Spirit, the Comforter dwelling in us. We thank you that the peace of God is beyond our understanding, and that it is accessible to all who believe and receive. Help us, Lord, to remember these things as we go into this time and into our lives, that we might follow you and we might be filled with your peace. In Jesus' name, amen. All right. What I'm going to do, I was going to take screenshots of that on my phone again so that I could not always turn around. But what I'm going to do instead, I think, is move the pulpit to the side. Russell, you want to come and help me? Let's go this way. Yeah, we got it. There we go. All right, this way I can turn without turning too much. All right, let's go to the first slide. We're entering a time in our country where there's a lot of questions, isn't there? There's a need for peace. It's a time of turmoil. That's what our world is beginning to look like, if it doesn't look like already. we must be reminded to look past our surroundings, past our circumstances, honestly. This is the world. This is not our eternal home. There is no peace in this world. There never will be until the thousand-year reign where Christ establishes his direct authority. and we're going to look at some of these things. But Jesus said, "Not as the world giveth." There's a difference between God's peace and the world's peace. In our experience, in our culture, America, our peace is a financial one. That is largely where we rely on our comfort. Yes, as Christians, we have a spiritual peace, but our peace is easy when our pockets are padded, isn't it? When nothing's wrong. right now, there's people that are scared of being sick. Right now, there's people that are scared of the government. Right now, there's people that are scared of financial collapse. There's all kinds of fear being churned up over this thing. And I don't know. Maybe somebody's afraid. This isn't what I was planning on preaching on. I said the next in the financial series I was going to do. A couple days ago, I was really thinking about something else. And then as I sat down to study either financial or the other one, it just, the Lord impressed this on my heart. So I believe somebody needs to hear it, whether it's in our midst or whether it's a recording that gets out online. This is a time where we need to understand God's peace. And maybe you're not, this is another thought I had as I was praying about it. Maybe it's not something that you're struggling with right now. Maybe right now everybody's comfortable and, it is just a flu virus. It's going to pass. Everything will be fine. And then I'm not to be a fearmonger. I'm just posing a thought. If that's your basis of everything's going to be fine in a few weeks, it's not. Then your panic attack sets in because you're relying on something now that is later disproven. And I'm not saying it will be, okay? I'm not fear-mongering. I'm just positing a thought. Maybe this is something for you to think of now so you'll have peace with God later. So I don't know if it is something that God wants us to hear for what our thoughts are at the moment or what our thoughts are down the road, but I believe this is what God wanted us to look at tonight. Again, in our experience, the peace as the world giveth in North America is a financial comfort and a freedom to go out and do as we see fit. We can, you know, we can do whatever we want, really. Yeah, we don't always feel like that, but that's the way our society is. You can go out and do what you want. Let's go to the next slide. Let's ask ourselves some questions. Are we worried about where this might go? What about church in 4 weeks? We've got a 4-week limitation. What about church in 4 weeks? What's it going to be like? What about by Sunday? I mean, these are some questions that I've been asked by different people just in the last few days. Just in the church, we've been texting and talking amongst each other. These are questions we have. What will it be like by Sunday? It's changing by the day. What about groceries in a couple weeks? You go into the grocery store, it's empty. Are you worried about that? I'm not trying to get you worried, okay? Bear with me. I'm not trying to get you worried. I'm trying to preach the peace of the Bible. Are these questions that you are worrying about? What about groceries in a few weeks? What about infrastructure? Hey, if they shut everything down, trucks can't get anywhere, people can't go out on the road, blah, 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 blah. You hear all this going on, and there's all kinds of spin-offs about that. A lot of misinformation out there that's getting people afraid. Are you worried about the infrastructure? What about finances, work, and income? Man, if I can't go to work, I can't make any money, then I can't go buy my food. If you're somebody like me, if other people aren't going to work, then they can't buy the stuff that we're selling. And then, you know, for me, I can't make my commission. Then, you know, are you worried about finances? Are you worried about work? Are you worried about income? Let me give you the answers to these questions. First of all, you have Christ. You have Christ. If you're saved, a born-again believer, no matter what happens, no matter what the events that line up or do not line up with any of those questions or other questions, you have Christ. He said, "My peace I leave with you. My peace I give unto you." Secondly, you have been taught to be a good steward. Now, whether you choose to be a good steward or not during this time, that's up to you. But you have been taught to be a good steward. And if you have not been taught, if you feel shy in this area, guess what? Open your Bible. The Bible has a lot to say. The Bible will teach. In fact, if we looked at the financial series this evening, that stewardship is where I was going to go. The Bible has a lot to say about stewardship. So first of all, you have Christ and you have been taught to be a good steward. Thirdly, you have a message that others need.
Amen.
You have a message that others need. This is a time of turmoil. It's a time of craze. It's a time of misinformation. A time of all these things. All these questions. But you have the answer. You have the message that others need. And let's look at these things tonight. Let's go to the next slide. First of all, you have Christ. In John 15:11, continuing in this passage, Jesus says, "These things have I spoken unto you," that's speaking of the entire passage, "that my joy might remain in you, and that your joy might be full." When the joy of Christ, the joy that comes from knowing we possess Christ, is in us, then our joy is full. It pushes out the worries and the fears. It overcomes them. We have victory through Christ. We have an assurance that nothing can take away. Oh, we can put it away. We can put it on a shelf. When I say put it away, I don't mean to you can get rid of it. But you can put it on a shelf and not use it. But nothing, not even yourself, can take it away from you. He has placed it in you, and when you take full advantage of it, when you consider it, when you make it a part of your life, your joy may be full and push out the doubts and fears. This, my friends, is a spiritual checkpoint. You talk about the road of life, and a week ago, none of us thought we would be coming to church with a restriction on how we met. Did anybody have any clue? Maybe, yeah. That's what we're looking at. We have a restriction on how we meet. And the restriction may get greater. And the restrictions may change. And we can worry all day long about it if we want to. But it's not, the worry isn't going to change anything. We're looking at something that we've talked about for all my growing up years. What if it came to this country? Well, it's persecution hasn't. In this sense. But here's a glimmer. Here's a glimmer, a taste. We need to use this as a spiritual checkpoint. Where am I? Where is my walk with Christ at this time? I have Christ. There is my answer. But where am I in Christ? Are we willing to have faith when everything crumbles? It might not crumble this time. It might not crumble till after the Lord calls us home, which obviously is what we want, but we don't always get what we want. If it did crumble in our lifetime, do you have faith, and are you willing to have faith to serve God anyway in such circumstances? Are you willing to obey Him when it becomes unwelcome by others? Now, we say that. We already have instances in our country where the homosexuals have an agenda and they're calling us immoral because we haven't changed, but they want to make it a moral idea. They want to call evil good. The abortionists want to call us immoral. So many people want to call what used to be good as evil. What if that was the norm? Are you willing to obey Him when it becomes unwelcome by others? This is a spiritual checkpoint. These are important questions. Are you increasing your desire for Him in your life? Now, those other two are considerations for what may come. It may come with this, it may come with something else. I'm not saying either way. But when that time comes, are you willing? Will you obey? But for right now, the third question, are you increasing in your desire for Him in your life? Because that's what you need right now. You can dream up all the bravery you want, but if you do not increase in your desire for Him right now, when the time comes, you'll fold as a leaf, fade and blow away. Christ gives peace and assurance. The only way you have it now and any other time is by increasing your desire for Him in your life. Let's go to the next slide. You have been taught stewardship. Luke 14, verse 28. Luke 14 and verse 28. For which of you, intending to build a tower, sitteth not down first and counteth the cost, whether he have sufficient to finish it? Now, I understand this is one small part of a bigger picture that Christ is drawing, but it's a truth. It's a fact. And it is required of good stewards. Every example of stewardship given in the Bible, every time a parable is given or a parallel is drawn of a good steward, it is one who sits down and counts the cost, understands where things are going and what is needed to be done in whether he has sufficient to finish it, whatever it might be. The New Testament believer is building many things. We're building our faith. We're to be building our character. We're to be building our church. We're to be building the kingdom of God. These are all things that the New Testament specifically says that we are builders of. And here Jesus said that one who is intending to build a tower sits down and counts the cost. Christ is our strong tower. When we run into it, that's faith. The first thing we're to be doing in our Christian life is building our faith. We don't build Christ, but we build our understanding of Christ. We increase in our desire for Him, in our walk with Him. We're to be building our faith. At this time, we must count the outcome and weigh it carefully. Will we have more faith because of things going on around? Will we be greater witnesses? Will we be more willing to share the gospel? Will we be more willing to obey the Bible because of things that are going on around us? As far as things that we are to do in our lives, are we making preparations to to meet them accordingly? Proverbs chapter 21 and verse 20 says, "There is treasure to be desired in oil in the dwelling of the wise, but a foolish man spendeth it up." Now, there's a perfect parallel in the world right now, in our country right now, to a parable, a living parable, if you will, of our spiritual condition. You go to the store, and a few days ago, all the toilet paper was gone. And then the hand sanitizer along with it. And then the soap. Funny how the soap went after the others, but anyway. And then the groceries. And now a lot of stores are empty. The foolish spendeth it up. Oh, there's trouble. I got to go buy everything I can find. Tiffany was in the store the other day. Her first experience with the empty store. Actually, our only one so far. And it was empty. She went into the produce section and there was just a thing here and there. And this gentleman, he walked along and he picked up a pepper. And he says, "Do you want it?" And Tiffany says, "No, I don't like peppers." And he says, "I don't either, but, you know, we're here to buy something, and it seems like since this is the only thing, one of us should buy it." The foolish goes and spendeth it up. "Oh, I gotta spend. I gotta do all this right now." I'm not saying you shouldn't stock up, but there's wisdom, there's calculation in doing that. If you stock up on perishables, guess what? In 2 weeks, you have nothing, if there is nothing. I'm just using some logic there. But There is treasure to be desired and oil in the dwelling of the wise, but a foolish man spendeth it up. This is talking about wisdom, knowledge, matters of the heart, not matters of what we spend on or what we throw in our pantry. The needs, spiritual and physical, of the wise are met. And in a time of adversity, they look like treasure when there's nothing else to be had. And the wise man has his necessities because he was a good steward. It looks like treasure to the fool who just blew everything. Now, on the spiritual sense, if we run around just like everybody else, with like chickens with their heads cut off, then the foolishness of the world sees the Christian as no different. But when the world is going crazy, looks at the Christian and sees peace, they see treasure, because peace is what they're looking for most of all. A good steward has peace because he knows he has done what he is able to do, and the master can take care of the rest. A good steward remembers that he's only a servant. He's taking care of what is God's. And as we looked at last week, God owns everything. God owns the penny in the wicked man's pocket. God owns all of it. Not just the blade of grass, but also the billions of dollars that the richest man holds. We don't need to be concerned about that because our master owns it all. But if we've done what we are able to do with Christ as our perspective, then we have peace because he'll take care of the rest. Let's go on to the next one. Finally, we have a message to share. 1 Thessalonians 5. Verses 3 through 7. For when they shall say, peace and safety, then sudden destruction cometh upon them as travail upon a woman with child, and they shall not escape. But ye, brethren, are not in darkness, that they should overtake you as a thief. Ye are all the children of light and the children of the day. We are not of the night nor of darkness. Therefore, let us not sleep as do others, but let us watch and be sober. For they that sleep, sleep in the night, and they that be drunken are drunken in the night. But let us who are of the day be sober, putting on the breastplate of faith and love, and for a helmet the hope of salvation. Let's read another verse. For God hath not appointed us to wrath, but to obtain salvation by our Lord Jesus Christ. If it all goes all the way bad, and the Spirit no longer is, the Spirit takes out the believers and lets the devil do his thing, we're not going to be here. We're not going to be here when the worst comes to worst. We're not appointed to wrath. But we are right now in a day where all around us people are saying peace and safety, peace and safety, peace and safety. You look at all the messages that are surrounding this virus thing, and they all summarize those two words, peace and safety. I had to smile. No, I got to say this right. I had to rejoice earlier today. And somebody's going to take this wrong if they ever listen to this message. But I don't mean it that the bad way. But I had to rejoice when Salt Lake got hit by an earthquake. Because yes. People are cowering in their houses. Peace and safety. Peace and safety. And sudden destruction fell on them. And the oldest statue of a demon blowing his trumpet, spreading the message of falsehood, lost his trumpet.
Amen.
Praise God. That's a bit of a side note. But anyway, the world saying peace and safety and sudden destruction came upon them because they are in darkness. But ye, brethren, are not in darkness that that day should overtake you as a thief. Notice, that day, no matter what's going on around us, no matter how much it looks like the end, the day hasn't come until we're on the other side looking down from heaven. But if we get mixed up in all the problems, then we're sleeping, according to this passage. Therefore, let us not sleep as do others, but let us watch and be sober. The world wants peace and safety. It's what they want to hear. It's what they know that they need. And they're looking for evidence of this in something. We're not in darkness unless we choose to be entangled in the affairs of this life. We have the evidence of peace. And now is a time like no other to speak out and to share. Amen. Christ is the answer. Christ has peace. And Christ is the way out. No matter if it's a simple virus or the whole world crashing down, Christ is the answer. Let's go on to the next slide. Matthew 24, verses 6 and 7. I know a lot of people are looking at this passage right now and getting all kinds of ideas from it. But I want to preach peace from this passage as well. Matthew 24, verses 6 and 7 says, "And ye shall hear of wars and rumors of wars. See that ye not be troubled, for all these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet. For nation shall rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom, and there shall be famines and pestilences and earthquakes in divers places." I'm going to stop there. You know the rest of the passage, or you can read it on your own. But all growing up, you see these different things happening around the world, and you say, oh, look here and look there, and you hear other people saying, look here and look there. But Jesus says all these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet. He says, see that ye not be troubled. Why does he say the end is not yet when you see all these things? And he says in other places there's signs of the time and you can know the seasons and you need to look at these fruits. Why does he say the end is not yet? Because if you're looking at them, you're on the pre-rapture side. The end hasn't happened yet. Remember, we won't be here when the wrath of God gets poured out. He says, see, look, focus on that you don't be troubled. We get all caught up in all these things that are going to happen. And, I mean, you read verse 7 and it fits pretty well right now. You've got nations blaming each other for the virus. You've got nations that are closing doors to each other after years and years of all this global economy. You have kingdoms against kingdoms. You have the threat of famine. And then in other places like Venezuela, you have real famine. You have pestilences. That'd be a description of COVID-19. You have earthquakes like this morning. in diverse places. Here's a description of what's going on. And so people focus on verse 7. But in verse 6, to begin with, Jesus said, focus on, see, that ye be not troubled. For all these things must come to pass. They've got to happen. And God's in control. These are indicators, but they're not the end. We will be raptured, not to experience the end. It will come as a thief, but we will see the signs. As was just read in Thessalonians, we're not in darkness. We're to watch and be sober. The signs are for us to increase in faith. They're for us to increase in readiness. And for us to increase the spread of the gospel. Because it's all the more obvious that the end is not yet. But it is another day closer. He says, be not troubled when ye see these things. Why did Jesus say that? Because when we're troubled and we're worried, we lose focus of what we're supposed to be doing. We lose focus of Christ. The fact that we have Christ. The fact that He already gave us peace. Let's go to the next slide. Matthew 11:29. Here the scripture reads, take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. As we said at the beginning, when we increase in our desire to know Him is when we find rest unto our souls. Jesus said, learn of me. Learn of me. Are we taking this opportunity to learn, or are we getting distracted by the clamor around us? Learning of Him in times of change should always increase our faith and adherence, obedience to the Word. Joshua 1:9 says, Have not I commanded thee? Be strong and of a good courage. Be not afraid, neither be thou dismayed. For the Lord thy God is with thee whithersoever thou goest. If you came here tonight with your peace on shaky ground, if your peace gets to be on shaky ground in the next weeks, months, years, remember that Jesus said, peace I leave with you, my peace I give unto you, not as the world giveth, give I unto you. It's an eternal peace. It's in the grasp of the Father. It's in the blood of Christ. It's in the presence of the Comforter. It's peace like no other. And it's that kind of peace that has taken Christians before through all kinds of things. It's that kind of peace that can take you and your neighbor and your friend, and the stranger in your gates, through this time or any time, into eternal hope and glory. Let's pray. Father, thank you that you deem fit to care for us. That you chose to redeem us unto yourself. That you sent your Son from glory to pay for my sins. To redeem me and to give me peace. To give each of us peace. And to give us a peace not only that passes understanding but that can be passed on to others. Help us, Lord, above all, to increase in your presence, in Jesus' name. Amen. Pastor, if you'd